Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
It takes a special kind of person to write a book that starts with my most infamous screw-ups, dot, dot, dot. And MJ Gottlieb is definitely a very special person. He is a lifelong entrepreneur, having owned and operated five businesses and one not-for-profit foundation over the last 23 years. He's currently the co-owner of Intuitive Group, a strategic consulting firm for startups. And his book, How to Ruin a Business Without Really Trying, just came out. I've had the pleasure of connecting with MJ through Twitter, and I'm so happy to be speaking with him today. So welcome, MJ.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to jump right into your book because there's so much great content in there. And one of the things that you say pretty early on is that most entrepreneurs get lost in running the day-to-day affairs of their business, and they don't have the patience or guidance to step away from the war for a moment to analyze the battle. And I was really interested in this war analogy. So I was wondering if you could maybe just talk about why, fighting a war is kind of an appropriate analogy for starting a business.
Well, I also, it's funny, I also use, people tend to get stuck in the trees and they don't get a good view of the forest. So I kind of use the both interchangeably. I think that one of the biggest concerns that an entrepreneur has is they just get stuck in the battle and they just don't understand the overall goal of the day, the week, the month, whatever it may be, because they're just kind of just stuck in the daily grind, so to speak. And that's why I think it's so important that you have an entrepreneur, or an entrepreneur has the skill set to really understand and get a high level understanding of what it's going to take to grow their business. And that's kind of what one of the biggest mistakes, and certainly a mistake that I've made, just getting caught up in the day affairs of the business.
I see. So it's kind of being able to see the forest for the trees and being able to take a step back.
Well, without question, it's like when we go and we analyze, a company from the outside in, it's so much easier to do it because when someone is within their own company, they tend not to be able to see it because they're stuck in their own stuff.
Right.
So when we come in and we look from the outside in, it's so much more visible. It's so much clearer to see, hey, you are doing a tremendous job in your production, but I think you need to change your financing arrangement. Or your marketing is great, but your design is not matching your marketing. It's much easier to see it, when you come from the outside in.
Right, right. There's tremendous clarity. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you is that it seems that so much of running a business involves using gut or intuition, but many of the rules or principles in your book seem to involve putting a check on your feelings. So what is the right way for entrepreneurs to use their feelings?
I think it's not so much about feelings. It's about, like, you have to have passion for what you're doing. You absolutely have to have a tremendous passion for what you're doing. But emotions, on the other hand, I think can severely cloud your judgment. And as you saw from the book, it affected me when I was in a positive mindset where my emotions, I was so excited over something, on something good that happened, that I made just an idiotic decision And then it also happens the other side. So it's like, you know, my father used to always tell me to count to 10 before I made any type of decision. I think it's really important to take that pause. And it's like I hear people so many times call me and say, I pressed the send button on the email. I shouldn't have done that, you know, but I was so mad, you know. So I think that it's not so much that you shouldn't have your feelings, but I think it's more, yes, you absolutely need to have a passion for what you do, but you just can't let your emotions put you in a situation that's going to kind of hit you in the backside.
Well, and certainly you shared so many experiences in the book where, you know, the mistakes or the problems that you encountered were because you didn't do just that. And I did just want to acknowledge that it was so helpful to hear and to read about your personal stories and the personal struggles and personal challenges. It's just really, you know, good to know that other people screw up as much as I do. So thank you for sharing all of that wisdom.
I was just going to say, like I say in my profile, I'm an experienced screw-up. You know, the difference between a person that's successful and a person that's not successful as of yet is that the successful person has failed more, and I believe in that 1,000%.
That's great wisdom. Now, I wanted to ask you about some of my the favorite rules or principles that you outlined in your book, and just kind of wanted you to talk a little bit about them to give my listeners a flavor for what these things are like. So number 13, which actually I think is a consistent theme through a lot of your points, you say never underestimate the importance of due diligence. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, so, you know, I think the most valuable commodity that we have on this earth, I'm completely against Jordan Gecko, is not information, but is time. And, you know, there's a lot of people that will tell you that they can do this and they can do that, and you tend to, again, let your emotions cloud your judgment, get excited, and not do your due diligence. And I think it was case study number 13 on the due diligence. I trusted a factory and I never ended up doing due diligence on the capabilities of that factory. And so when in fact they went and turned in the product, it wasn't what Gary and I had expected, and we took a tremendous loss, you know, specifically because we did not do our background check and due diligence on the company.
Right, right. Okay. What about number 18, never go on a suicide mission?
Okay, well, so there's a lot of people that I've known that, you know, have one account. We were one of them. And they could have one account and they could do $200 million a year with them. And then suddenly that account goes out of business and they suddenly are out of business, because they built up all of their overhead and everything based on their revenue, and suddenly all their revenue is gone. And that's something that Gary and I went through, when we landed our First National, account that had about 1,000 stores. And, you know, we heard that they were starting to experience some problems and this and that and the other. And one of our mentors, someone that turned out to be our mentor, immediately got us into trade shows. We got maybe 200-400 other independent mom and pop accounts, so to speak. And it's what we call hip pocket clients. So while it's always great to have the big boys, you always want to have those hip pocket clients that you know will always support you. So that way, whatever you're doing, you know that your business can always continue because you'll always have the revenue because they're always going to stay loyal to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you really need to be thinking about your clients, your customers, kind of almost as a portfolio where you're managing, you know, some that might be big wins, but then also have some hip pocket clients just to balance things out a bit, it sounds like.
Yeah, like for instance, with us, we would have maybe one or two big, like huge guys, and then maybe 50 or 60 statewide chains and 700 independent stores that may, when I say independent, they, and I'm just, even though I'm talking about the fashion business, this mm-hmm. is any business.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, when I say independent stores, they may have 1 to 5 stores.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of 3 levels. There's the monster, let it be the Walmart or whoever it is. I mean, our product was never for Walmart, but, and then there's the statewide chains that may have 25 to 35 stores. And then there's those independent stores that may have 1 to 5 stores. So mm-hmm. the same principles apply in any business,
mm-hmm.
Those mm-hmm. kind of 3 tiers.
Right, right. Okay, and the last one I want to ask you about is number 32, don't be afraid to ask for help. And I think this comes from a very important you know, lesson that you learned in your journey. So I was hoping you could maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I lost my business because I didn't want to ask for help. I let my ego get in the way, and ego is a killer. So, you know, I think it was, I forget how long after I lost one of my businesses, there was a gentleman that was a huge advocate for our business. And we were, I don't know, having lunch a year after or something. And he said, and he had a big business. And he said, why didn't you ever tell me that you had these problems and ask me for help? I mean, I would have helped you. And I really didn't have an answer for him because it was all ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we need to put our egos aside because the only way that we learn is saying, you know, like raising our hand in class and saying, excuse me, teacher, I just don't understand. I need help. And that's
mm-hmm.
how we learn.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think we know everything, we're just never going to grow. So I think it's so important to be able to have the humility to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Well, MJ, you have done a beautiful and generous thing by writing this book. And again, the book is called How to Ruin a Business Without Really Trying. I want my listeners to know how they can get a copy of the book and how they can connect with you. So tell us about that. How should people follow up?
Well, you can go to howtoruinabusiness.com. There's a nice landing page on the Hustle Branding blog, which is our blog, which is a division mm-hmm. of the Intuitive Group. So howtoruinabusiness.com. Or you can go to Amazon and buy it. It's available, you know, paperback, hardcover, Kindle, all that good stuff, and Barnes & Noble and all the other Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, 800 CEO, all those, all the usual suspects.
Right. Okay. And yeah, definitely I want to recommend that folks, you know, follow you, follow your blog and then follow you on Twitter, because that's how actually you and I had connected, and you're just a source of great information and insights through that. So what is your Twitter handle?
At MJ Gottlieb.
Okay. And that's G-O-T-T.
That's my name.
Yeah, GOTTLIEB, right?
Yeah, G like George, O, T like Tom, LIEB like boy.
Terrific. Well, if everyone else has the same experience that I do, what will happen is that you will begin reading this book and just kind of enjoying, you know, hearing the stories and you know, laughing at and with you, MJ, as you're reading. But then I really, at some point, you know, I started like being like, oh my gosh, I see so much of myself in this book, and it's just been a tremendous help. So congratulations on publishing the book. I hope that the launch continues to go well for you, and I look forward to staying connected. Thanks again, MJ.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.